Envoys from North Korea and the United States sat side by side today at a velvet-covered table built especially for them. It's the first time they've met in 4 months. And while their surroundings were grand, expectations were anything but. They're in Beijing for multilateral talks to try to solve the escalating crisis over North Korea's nuclear program. So far, it seems their ideological positions are still a world apart. Charles Burton is an expert on Asia and a former political advisor at the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. We reached him in Toronto.
Dr. Burton, how much progress do you expect from this round of negotiations?
Well, I don't expect any progress in terms of resolving the fundamental issue of the nuclear threat that North Korea poses to the world. I don't expect we'll see any action on that at all.
But hopefully it's better that there is some discussion rather than no discussion.
Well, you know, as Churchill said, better jaw-jaw than wah-wah. On the other hand, if the United States, in effect, loses face in the sense that there is no progress made in the matter, then it could strengthen the hands of the hawkish elements of the United States that could bring us closer to actual hostilities, which would have horrifying consequences for Korea and the world and the region.
Now, of the six countries sitting around the table jaw-jawing, which country has the most clout?
Well, I think that the hope is with the People's Republic of China. They certainly is the country that North Korea would have the most faith in as a friend. North Korea is not a country that has a lot of friends. China was probably a closer friend to North Korea when they both had comparable Stalinist-type systems. Now China has abandoned the Stalinist system, but they still have maintained a Communist Party in power, and so I think that there are a lot of friendly links between people in the elite in North Korea and people in the elite in China. But I think from the Chinese point of view, what they'd like is to maintain the status quo.
Well, what role will China take in the talks, though? Is it some kind of conciliatory role to try to get the two sides together, or...?
I don't think that there's much hope of getting the two sides together in the sense that there's a fundamental disagreement. From Korea's point of view, North Korea's point of view, they want to maintain the perception of a nuclear threat because after the Iraq war, they realize that the only way that they can maintain their regime is if there's a perception that engaging in regime change in North Korea will lead to disastrous consequences. So I don't think that there's much possibility of that happening. It is possible that the United States will induce Seoul and Tokyo to provide further economic incentives for North Korea to cease to engage in the production of materials that could be used to make nuclear bombs. But I frankly would not expect, even if Korea took the money, that they would follow through. As we've been through this before, and it hasn't led to the desired result. So I think from that point of view, there is no way the United States can get what they want unless they make drastic concessions. And the concession that they would have to make would be to withdraw from the region, and this would have implications for Korea. It would have implications for Taiwan. It would have implications for Japan. And as things stand now, I think this would be an unthinkable thing for the American government to do. So we're stuck in a conundrum, and the situation at present only looks like it's heading towards deterioration and not towards resolution.
Is it 100% sure, though, that North Korea has nuclear weapons? Because there seems to be some confusion around that.
I don't think it's certain that North Korea has nuclear weapons. We have no, to my knowledge, countries outside the United States and North Korea have no clear evidence that North Korea has the two nuclear bombs that the United States suggests that they have, and that the North Koreans also have informally claimed that they have. But that being said, I don't think it's all that difficult to make offensive nuclear devices these days, and the potential for them to develop such weaponry is there.
And on the other hand, though, if it doesn't have these nuclear weapons, you would think it might be a little concerned that it could suffer the same fate as Iraq in light of what happened to Iraq.
Well, I guess if they don't have them, they want us to think that they have them. And if we had a notion that that we thought they definitely didn't have them, I guess they try and get them. It seems that it's one of those things that goes around in circles.
Kind of a game of chicken. Is there a chance, then, that in light of what you seem to be describing as a bit of a stalemate, that one of the parties will simply walk away in Beijing?
Well, that would be a very unfortunate solution. I think that the way these things generally end is agreement to have more talks. And that's probably what the Chinese want. The Chinese are already talking about turning this into an ongoing security dialogue. So it doesn't seem that the Chinese expect that there'll be a couple of talks, like some now and some at the end of the year. All the issues will be resolved and everyone will go away and move on to other things. I think they see this as an ongoing long-term process, the view being to try and maintain at least the status quo. Of course, it would be great if the regime in North Korea did change and became a government that was more amenable to entering into the world order, but we don't see any evidence of that regime changing. I think perhaps previously under the Clinton administration, when they did negotiations with North Korea, such as their negotiations to provide North Korea with the light water reactor to replace the heavy water reactors that can be more readily used for nuclear offensive capability, that when the Clinton administration made promises to North Korea to do these things, that they had expected that the regime would collapse before they had to fulfill those promises. But 10 years later, Kim Jong-il is still firmly in power, and there's no sign of there being any political alternatives coming to the fore. And we have no indications of, you know, any kind of internal civil conflicts that would suggest that there are people that want to bring about change in the northern part of Korea.
So at this point, you don't see anything that could break the logjam?
I don't. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't see this as having any hope of us at the end of this week heaving a sigh of relief and feeling that the world is a safer place.
Well, I was going to say on that cheery note, but thanks so much for bringing us up to date on I guess we can't call them negotiations, on the discussions.
Yes, and maybe we can talk next week
I
can explain to you how wrong I was.
Let's hope. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Charles Burton is a political science professor at Brock University in St. Catharines and a former political advisor to the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. We reached him in Toronto.